Good afternoon, everyone. I'm on a new adventure today, for this is my first day of retirement. I'm a little anxious and adventurous, so I'm going to take you to a place that has not been talked about for some time. I do not want to call it prophecy, because we tend to speculate, so maybe we will just touch the edges. We will need to be prepared for our journey, so I'll give you some biblical examples to help us get through our journey. I will be using the complete Jewish Bible for reference scripture. If you've not used this before, I think you'll find it very interesting. So let's start in Hebrews 8, 10 through 12. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them will teach his fellow citizen or his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, because I will be merciful toward their wickedness and remember their sins no more. When will all this happen? Only the Lord knows. This is what we're all looking forward to. Let's look at some of the wisdom of Paul to help us on our journey. In Romans 13, 1 and 2, and then 11 and 14. 13:1. Everyone is to obey the governing authorities, for there is no authority that is not from God, and the existing authorities have been placed where they are by God. Therefore, who resists the authorities is resisting what God has instituted, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And now in 11 and 14, besides all this, you know at what point of history we stand. So it is high time for you to rouse yourselves from the sleep, for the final deliverance is nearer than when we first came to trust. Now let's go to Galatians 6. 7 through 10. Don't delude yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. A person reaps what he sows. Those who keep sowing in the field of their old nature in order to meet its demands will eventually reap ruin. But those who keep sowing in the field of the Spirit will reap from the Spirit everlasting life. So let us not grow weary of doing what is good, for if we don't give up, we will in due time reap the harvest. Therefore, as the opportunity arises, let us do what is good to everyone, and especially to the family of those who are trusting and faithful. Let's now go to Ephesians 4, 25, and then 29. Therefore, stripping off falsehood, let everyone speak truth with his neighbor, because we are intimately related to each other as parts of a body. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down before you have dealt with the cause of your anger. Otherwise, you leave room for the adversary. In 29, let no harmful language come from your mouth, only good words that are helpful in meeting the need, words that will benefit those who hear them. Don't cause grief to God's Holy Spirit, for he has stamped you as his property until the day of final redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, violent assertiveness, and slander, along with spitefulness. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, and forgive each other, just as in the Messiah has also forgiven you. And one more, in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, grow powerful in union with the Lord. In union with his mighty strength, use all the armor and weaponry that God provides so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So take up every piece of war equipment God provides so that when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist and when the battle is won, you will still be standing. Therefore, stand. Have the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Put on the righteousness for a breastplate, and wear on your feet the readiness that comes from the good news of peace. Always carry the shield of trust with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of deliverance along with the sword given by the Spirit, that is, the Word of God, as you pray at all times with all kinds of prayers and requests in the Spirit, vigilantly and persistently for all God's people. Are we ready? Have we been preparing for our journey? We're going to have some tough bumps in the road, some real trials prior to where we're going now, to Revelation 15. Revelation 15:1 says, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, a great and wonderful one. Seven angels with seven plagues that are the final ones, because with them God's fury is finished." Now, it says it's a wonderful one, but when you read in 16, it doesn't sound so wonderful. In 16, verse 1, it says, "I heard a loud voice from the sanctuary say to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of God's fury. So the first one went out and poured his bowl on the earth, and disgusting and painful sores appeared on all the people who had the mark of the beast and worshiped the image. The second one poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a dead person, and every living thing in the sea died. The third one poured out his bowl into the rivers and springs of water, and they turned to blood. Then I heard the angels of the waters say, O Holy One, the one who is and was, you are just in these judgments of yours. They poured out the blood of your people and your prophets, so they have made them drink blood. They deserve it. In 8, the fourth one poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was permitted to burn people with fire. People were burned by the intense heat, yet they cursed the name of God, who had the authority over these plagues, instead of turning from their sins to give him glory. The fifth one poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom grew dark. People gnawed on their tongues from the pain, yet they cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores, and did not turn from their sinful deeds. And the sixth one poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and the water dried up in order to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw three unclean spirits that looked like frogs. They came from the mouth of the dragon, from the mouth of the beast, and from the mouth of the false prophet. They are miracle-working demonic spirits which go out to the kings." And then in 7, or 17, "The seventh one poured out his bowl on the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. There were flashes of lightning, voices and peals of thunder, and there was a massive earthquake, such as never occurred since mankind has been on earth. So violent was the earthquake, the great city was split into three parts. The cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babel the Great and made her drink the wine from the cup of his raging fury. Every island fled, and no mountains were to be found. And huge 70-pound hailstones fell on people from the sky. But the people cursed God for the plague of hail, that it was such a terrible plague." I'd like to ask a question. Where will we be when the seven bowls of God's fury is poured out on the earth? I kind of think that if we've been studying, praying, having a close relationship with God and His Son, let's hope that we're in the place of safety. And sometime shortly after this, God is going to use us to clean up this mess. Now, after the fourth through the seventh bowl was given or was released, the people cursed God for all that he had done to them. And when we have to deal with these people, they're not going to be happy. And so where would we might start? What is the first thing done in the disasters of today? Tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, medical, and then food. And then shelter. Now, we haven't heard this for a long time, but I have heard ministers in the past say that it might take three generations for these items to get back to, at least three items to get back to normal. Now, this is mere speculation, but it has room for a lot of thought on our part. What are we really good at right now? Who knows how God will use us? Again, this is all speculation. We might think back to Paul's words of always do the best you can at whatever you're doing. And who knows, maybe God will use us in that respect. What would you say if I told you that this work is being done already today on this earth? I'm going to give you a list of organizations that are doing these very things today. Please write them down, the names, and you may even want to donate to them. You know, for the last 3 years, God has blessed my wife and I tremendously with a job, and we have been able, above our tithes and offerings, to give to these organizations. Project Hope is number one. Dr. William B. Walsh, MD, persuaded President Eisenhower to donate a U.S. Navy hospital ship, the USS Constellation. The ship was transformed into a civilian hospital ship called the SS Hope, and the organization Project Hope was born. Doctors and nurses around the world share their skills on their venture to help those in need. Number two, Habitat for Humanity. This organization builds homes for needy people all around the world. And I don't know whether any of you here, there were some of us here in this church that worked on a Habitat for Humanity home in Port Angeles. So we've been there. So Steve, Cecil, Jerry, who knows, maybe you'll be building houses in the kingdom. Doctors Without Borders is another one. Maybe Dr. Merritt will be working there. This is also a world organization created in France by doctors and journalists in 1971 to help those in need around the world. Number four, Smile Train, and I'm going to add one because I have to. It's called Operation Smile, and one of our own actually went there, Wendy, to do some of their work. Now, this organization deals with children who have a cleft lip or palate. And they just do wonders for these things. To look into these things and see what they do is unbelievable. Number five is another group called Mercy Ships. This is the world's largest charity hospital ship, the M/V Africa Mercy, hosting 7,000 operations per year, 6 operating rooms, 78 hospital beds, and a crew of 400. And there's many of them that I didn't touch on. This one here, the last one, is called Orbis International. This organization deals with the eyes or people's sight. Now listen to this. A child somewhere in the world goes blind every minute. Every minute. Orbis is working to change that by training doctors all over the world on how to prevent blindness in children. And I have their yearly book that Orbis sends out, and it is just wonderful. I wish I could give you a lot of information here. I just want to give on some of the achievements. In 2007, 40,000 doctors and other eye care staff received training. 2.4 million children and adults received medical treatment. 135,000 people received sight-saving surgery, and 2 million individuals were educated about blindness prevention. Now, one of the things, every time that you give to FedEx, you don't give to FedEx, but I mean that you send a FedEx package, a few pennies of that goes to this organization, because FedEx provides a DC-10 hospital that goes to all over the world. And I was reading in their stuff in the back that they spend, not FedEx, but these people, Orbis, spends $3 million a year on just gas, fuel, for that airplane. But FedEx keeps that airplane maintained with tires and maintenance and the whole bit, just like they do their own fleet. So there's a lot of people that are putting in to Orbis. They're in Bangladesh, Vietnam, China, Latin America, and the Caribbean, Ethiopia, India. India has one of the highest incidents of blindness among children, with 320,000 children blind under the age of 16. Also, they have, and then talk about their flying eye hospital. They have more than 700 doctors participated in 2007. 450 non-clinical staff also received training. More than 800 people were examined, and over 300 eye surgeries were performed on that airplane. And now what they're doing is they're teaching all these doctors in these countries. Like, for example, in Cambodia, there's 8 eye doctors for 15 million people. So they're using what they call CyberSight. And this is a program in which these doctors who know so much about blindness and how to take care of it and whatever are actually giving these doctors over the internet training on what and how to take care of this. Now, I could go on, and I don't have the time. And there is so much that can be done, but what I wanted to do was leave thought that what might we be doing when that time comes? And also, you know, people like Wendy and Dr. Merritt, with those people, when you're thinking about medical, they will have the power to say, you are healed. In closing, I hope I have sparked our interest in someone else rather than ourselves. Check out these organizations that are doing something good for humanity. Let's ask ourselves, where are we at this moment? Where are we going, and how will we get there? Will we be able to, or must we force ourselves to help those in need on our way to the kingdom? This is our preaching of the gospel. Be the shining light, the example of God's ways and truth to all whom we make contact with.